Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Man, stuck in the middle with you. No place I would rather be. Wow. What a panic. Just got off the phone not 10 seconds ago from a conference call. Press availability that Secretary of State, California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen is having right now concerning her landmark top-to-bottom review of voting systems in California. I have more on this in a moment, but here's a headline. Her team of analysts were able to bypass the security, both physical and software security, on every voting system they tested. That's just in. Well, it is our last day of guest hosting here for our good friend Peter B., who is across the pond right now, somewhere in Italy, taking a well-deserved vacation, a family reunion, as I understand it. And so I, the your Bradness, as Peter likes to call me, am sitting in for Peter B., finishing up a week and a half here, broadcasting from the facilities of KPFT 90.1 FM, the Pacifica affiliate here in Houston, Texas, where we just happened to be. And we've got, of course, another big show for you ahead. We're going to call it Be the Media Friday today because we do want to hear from you. I've tried to leave a lot of open space today so that you can speak up. You can tell us what's on your mind because I don't trust the corporate media. I don't trust you either. But I'd love to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Going to cover a lot of the stuff that has been piling up here on my desk that I have not been able to talk about all week because there's been so much going on and so many guests. We will, however, at the bottom of this hour, have Greg Pallast. You may have heard of him. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour to take your questions as well as fill us in on the PBS Now program tonight, in which he is featured, speaking about vote caging. Also, Brian Myers, the producer of that special report tonight on Now, will be joining us a little bit later. John Gideon, of course, will be here with the Daily Voting News Update, but I suspect that entire Daily Voting News Update is going to concern Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review, a landmark top-to-bottom review, never done, independent testing of every voting system certified in California, which will have an earthquake effect, potentially, across the entire country, and they are late in posting those results on the Secretary of State's website, but she did have her press avail moments ago. As I said, she announced that they were, in fact, able to bypass the both the physical and software security for every voting system that was tested. And I got to grab my notes here because, as it turns out, one of the microphones is not working in the studio. We only found that out, of course, once I started to speak at the top of the show. Let's see what else she said. Well, her decisions on what to do won't come until next Friday, whether to certify these systems or decertify them or allow them to be used with mitigation procedures in place. However, there is a public hearing that's going to take place in Sacramento on Monday at 10 a.m. She is looking forward to input from the public. She'll also be taking emails, faxes, snail mail, whatever. Over the weekend, she referred to the army of volunteer folks out there, folks like yourself, who will be reading through these reports and sending concerns to her. The source code review, there's two different reviews, source code review and hack review, hack tests. The source code review, I think, will not be actually posted today after all, because she said, as she was looking at it last night, that she was concerned that some of the detail was a little specific and that it might have provided a roadmap that was a little too specific as far as how to hack these voting systems. Yeah, they're not secure. We've been telling you that for quite a while. Anyway, much more about that as the afternoon rolls on here, certainly in our election integrity hour at the end of the night here. And also we'll be touching base with Christine Kraft out of Sacramento, Talk City, 1240 a.m. She will be taking over for me and covering for Peter, who is, man, what a slacker. He's away for at least another week. And so Christine's going to take over beginning next week. Same time, same channel, same Brad time, same Brad channel. Christine Kraft's going to be here, and we're going to actually touch base with her later today, pass the torch, so to speak. And we're going to cover all of this news. Well, let's kick this off right now. Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney, will undergo a minor surgical procedure Saturday. That's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't keep track. Tomorrow, to replace the battery in the special pacemaker he has in his chest. Man, okay. During the vice president, just how many jokes can you fill in here at this point? Call in with your jokes. 888-5-PETER-5. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. During the vice president's annual physical examination in June, testing of his implantable cardioverter defibrillator indicated that the device's battery has reached the level where elective replacement of the device is recommended. So White House officials said that tomorrow, while he is under surgery, of course, George W. Bush will become acting president for a number of hours while Dick Cheney is under the gas. What? Yeah, I know. Okay, there you go. We're also covering, and by the way, because I'm straddling across the studio here, I can't even see the IMs. Dez, you're going to have to let me know if we've got calls that we need to get to from Mission Control. Brian Manning, the phone's up there. You wouldn't believe how I'm broadcasting this show right now. No, I'm not naked, but close to it. Trying to make sense of this, what's going on with Alberto Gonzalez. Good luck to anyone who can make sense of this. He, of course, has been, called a liar, and I would have to concur. He's been trying to say that this mysterious meeting that took place in the hospital room, you may remember Acting Secretary of State, I'm sorry, let's see what I got on my mind, Acting Attorney General James Comey at the time, had taken over, and while Ashcroft was in the hospital, Comey did not want to renew the terrorist surveillance program, had some concerns with it, and so Bush sent Gonzalez, who was his attorney at the time, Gonzalez, and Card, his chief of staff, over to the hospital to strong-arm Ashcroft while he was in a near coma to get him to sign on to this thing. To his credit, Ashcroft would not do so. Comey had a race over there. He had to call the FBI, Robert Mueller, to try to keep these guys from strong-arming Ashcroft, who was delirious, apparently, at the time, under meds for whatever surgery he was having. Well, Gonzalez in the testimony this week said that, we weren't talking about that terrorist surveillance program, as they like to call it. We were talking about a whole different thing that I can't talk about. It's completely different, had nothing to do with that. Well, Robert Mueller, FBI director, testified otherwise. He says that, in fact, he was asked by Congressman Lee, did you have an understanding that the discussion at the hotel was on...
Hotel?
See? At the hospital, was on TSP. That would be the Terrorist Surveillance Program. Mueller said, I had an understanding that the discussion was on a, yes, an NSA program, yes. Sheila Jackson Lee then asked, I guess we use TSP, we use, quote, warrantless wiretapping, so I would be comfortable in saying that those were the items that were part of the discussion. Mueller said the discussion was on a national NSA program that has been much discussed, yes. So that's what he said. The White House, however, had a different thought on it. Today, they said, nope, we were talking about something completely different, and we can't talk about it at all, and Gonzalez, the president, stands by Gonzalez's statements. Nobody knows what the hell is going on here. Four Democratic senators have now asked the Department of Justice, actually the Solicitor General, to begin a to appoint a special prosecutor to look into this matter of whether he perjured himself. Nobody knows what the hell is going on. That's the fine state of Bush's America that we're in. We're going to have much, much more from Bush's America today. Plus your calls on Be the Media Friday, Greg Palast, Deborah Bowen's review, top-to-bottom review, and oh, so much more. Call us now if you want to get in. I'm warning you, you've been warned. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also chat over at bradblog.com right on the top. We'll be back right after this.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
To the PBC show, Brad Friedman in for PBC, your friendly citizen guest blogger from bradblog.com. I'm going to do my best to keep an eye on the open thread over at Brad Blog. Not easy, as one microphone is out and I've got to straddle the room in order to do this show. But I'm happy to straddle for you. Give us a call if you like. It's Be The Media Friday. That's our free speech zone you may have heard about. 888-5-PETER-B. What's on your mind? I want to know. We've heard more than enough from me over the past week and a half. 888-573-8372. All right. Oh, boy. Here's an interesting item coming off of... Oh, and we're clearing our desk. We're clearing our desk of all the Bush World items that we've had sitting around here all week, haven't gotten to. This one, of course, fresh this morning. Let's see. Who is Spencer Ackerman over at TPM Muckrakers, our friends over there. Stunning as it is to contemplate, the Associated Press obtained Pentagon documents through the Freedom of Information Act showing that investigators looked into whether the athlete-turned-soldier, Pat Tillman, might have been deliberately killed in 2004 by members of his Special Forces unit in Afghanistan. What? Nothing the AP obtained is definitive, and ultimately the friendly fire ruling withstood a criminal investigation, but according to the AP, medical examiners questioned the close proximity of three bullet holes in Tillman's forehead, fired from 10 yards away. There are questions, which will be difficult to hear, concerning Tillman's heroism, that Tillman was not well-liked within his unit. Other elements of the circumstances surrounding Tillman's death appear difficult to reconcile with the friendly fire ruling, which came after the Army announced that Tillman died in combat. Here's a few items from the actual AP report. In his last words, moments before he was killed, Tillman snapped at a panicky comrade under fire to shut up and stop, quote, sniveling. Army attorneys sent each other congratulatory emails for keeping criminal investigators at bay. This is incredible. They congratulated each other for keeping the criminal investigators out as the Army conducted an internal friendly fire investigation that resulted in administrative or non-criminal punishments. And, of course, as we reported yesterday, the three-star general who kept the truth about Tillman's death from his family and the public told investigators some 70 times that he had a bad memory and he couldn't recall the details of his actions. There is also, the AP reported, no evidence at all of enemy fire was found at the scene. No one was hit by enemy fire, nor was any government equipment struck. Well then, why did they let that story get out? Because they wanted to make a hero out of Bush. That's the only thing I could suggest. Every aspect of this thing has been obfuscated. In fact, it has, and now George W. Bush has claimed executive privilege to keep any more documents from getting out on this case. What are they hiding? Your guess is as good as mine. Let's get in a quick call here before the bottom of the hour. Steve from Watsonville. What's up, Steve?
Thanks, Brad. Just your mentioning Alberto got me reflecting. This morning I emailed both of my senators, Boxer and Feinstein,
yeah,
suggesting that in addition to the special prosecutor that they're, you know, calling for, that they form an exploratory committee, and I think this is correct senatorial procedure, to determine whether there are grounds for impeachment of Alberto Gonzalez.
Well, and I think they're more interested in doing that now, actually. In fact, it was Specter, Republican senator, who even referred to the impeachment of Alcee Hastings, because their options here are running out. Indeed.
Yeah, it was Specter and a few others, their terminology that got me thinking, oh, yeah, we could get some Republican support on this. But you're mentioning Pat Tillman. Got me reflecting. I wrote a letter to the Chronicle this morning. I doubt if they'll publish it, since some people in San Francisco will hear this. You mind if I tell you what I wrote?
You're going to have to do it in about 15 seconds, because we're going to have to get out shortly.
Pat Tillman had three 22 holes in his skull, presumably from the same AR-16 fired at extremely close range. Is it possible that he had been a little too outspoken in his criticism of the commander-in-chief who had relegated him to that godforsaken wilderness? Did he mention misgivings about the legitimacy of the decider's decisions in front of the wrong people? Just wondering.
Way to be the media, Steve. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Appreciate the call. In fact, Tillman was outspoken. He was not a fan of this war. And, you got that working? All right. Oh, new mic working. I can sit down and enjoy myself. He was no fan of this war. And, in fact, some have suggested, as did Steve, that that might have been a reason to off him. Seems kind of far-fetched, but actually, I'm going to switch back to this one, because it doesn't sound very good, does it?
No, it's backwards.
Oh, it's backwards. Okay. See how we do this? There we go. Oh, man, now I sound great. Thank you, Steve. See, that's what happens when you do the show out of a closet in Houston. Out of the closet? Well, what am I talking about? All right. Sorry about that distraction. Who knows what to make of this, because they won't release the documents. Executive privilege. Who knows what to think anymore with this entire government? Yes, it is that bad. We are going to be back momentarily here, perhaps with a nice, clean, new microphone, and Greg Palast, and more of your calls here on the Peter B. Show. Give us a shout, 888-573-8372. Be the media. My mic could go out again, and I'll need you to take over the show. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would.
Yeah.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
So good.
What?
So good.
Yeah. All right, we're back on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Houston, Texas, hopefully making sense of things down here where the world, the wheels are coming apart, even as the wheels of Bush's America come off. Sitting in for PBC for one more dreamy afternoon here, broadcasting live from Houston, and we got Greg Palast up momentarily. You may have heard of him, and of course we'll have, yeah, give me a little more juice there so I don't have to scream. There we go. Oh, that's much better. All right. Palast is coming up with us here in a moment. You heard my headline just moments before coming on air today. Heard from Deborah Bowen that, in fact, the California landmark voting system top-to-bottom review was, in fact, able to, the teams were able to bypass the security, both physical and software security, in every system tested. Who'd have thunk it? Nonetheless, my next guest here and good friend Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse and many other New York Times bestsellers, thinks that maybe not the voting machines you need to worry about. It's the people who run them, who game them, and who have gamed the system entirely. He'll also be on PBS Now tonight. Finally, the American media is paying attention to vote caging, Greg Palast.
Hey, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the voting booth.
Oh, man. Who'd have thunk it?
I mean, even if they, that's what I'm saying. Even if they take out the computers,
yeah,
even if they take democracy out of that black box.
Yep.
It's still not safe. They're still not counting you. But they have so many tricks. I mean, you'd have to get up early in the morning before Karl Rove does. So, yeah, caging. They're, you just threw out the word caging there.
Yeah.
What's happening tonight, by the way, finally.
Yeah.
And kudos, applause, kisses to the Petroleum Broadcast System for finally wanting to cover United States elections. For those who don't know me, I report for British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, out of London.
Oh, that's right.
And we've been covering U.S. elections for a while.
Right, but the
that is the non-count of the vote. And so here's what's going down. Yes.
And just so everyone knows, the Petroleum Broadcast Company, that would be PBS, correct?
PBS.
All right.
Oh, excuse me.
That's all right. Just translating
but
here.
But the I always bite the hand that broadcasts me.
It's the least you can do.
That's the least I can do. In fact, I do love now because they are kind of the exception that makes the rule. When people say, you're always knocking PBS. What about Bill Moyers Now program? I said, exactly. Now,
yeah, what about him?
One finger clapping.
Right.
That's it. You just used it up, man. Anyway, you notice so what's happened, so here it takes till 2007 to do a report that we did in 2004 on BBC, and we did before the 2004 election. We were explaining how it was about to be stolen in Ohio and Florida and New Mexico and other places, and one of the tricks, just one of the tricks, so you get rid of the black box voting, then you get rid of this new trick. This new trick is called caging. What that is, very simply, is the Republican Party chieftains sent out first-class letters to new voters in heavily Democratic areas.
Mm-hmm.
That means black, okay, brown,
right,
and some Jewish precincts, by the way, in Florida.
What?
And,
Jewish
precincts? They were going after, in fact, you know, in the nursing home, they're going after the elderly of Zion.
Well, now they've gone too far, Greg Palast.
That's it, man.
All right,
and
so, yeah.
So what they did was they sent letters to these in these areas, to the new registrants. And the letters came back. They said, fraudulent voter, they don't live at that address. And that sounds initially reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Their votes are challenged, I mean, by the thousands and thousands and thousands. Okay, now, but were they fraudulent voters? Was there a crime wave of illegal voting in the United States among the darker-skinned new registrants?
Well, now, Greg, before you give away that answer, I give you two options. A. You can allow Brian Myers, the producer of that segment, who's going to be coming on later to tell us, or you can leave it open until PBS has their say tonight on Now. Or you can tell us, whatever you want.
I think you need to hear it three or four times.
All right, go ahead, say it.
It'll do you good, because it's not easy to understand.
All right, go ahead.
I'll just give you one of them.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay, I won't give you the answer to this.
I'm just trying to push folks towards the petroleum broadcast.
One of the caging lists we found, because we discovered these, by the way.
Right.
At BBC. We got them. We discovered them. Karl Rove, not being the sharpest knife in the drawer, his team, not Rove himself, he doesn't have a computer, his team sent out emails to the wrong email address. They sent them to a joke website run by a guy named John Wooden. Great guy. Said, ooh, I bet Greg Palast would like these. 500, roughly 500 of the emails from the Rove bots came into his operation, were sent to us at BBC.
Mm-hmm.
These caging lists, and one caging list, for example, was heavy with voters from the Naval Air Base at Jacksonville, airmen. So, in other words, and these are people then subject to challenge. According to the Republican plan, which is also included in these secret emails, it said, we will challenge every one of these voters on the list, everyone. And so they were challenging naval airmen, servicemen, okay?
How thoughtful of them.
And why? Because they were obviously fraudulent voters because they weren't there when the letter came to their home. Now, question, Brad, I'm not going to give the answer whether these are fraudulent voters or not.
Okay.
Why would a soldier not be living at home to get his mail or her mail?
Because he was Jewish.
The answer.
Because he was Jewish.
Because they're a fraudulent voter or because, Mr. Myers will handle it. But But caging, so is one evil, vile trick.
Before you give me the before you give me the second one, let me give out the number 888-5-PETER-B 888-573-8372 if you have a question for Greg Palast. Continue, Mr. Palast.
Okay, so there's all kinds of other cute tricks.
Yeah.
In 2000, I busted open an obvious one it wasn't obvious at the time. I got from Catherine Harris' office. I got a couple discs which we cracked.
Right.
Secretary of State of Florida. And what she had done was targeted tens of thousands, actually 94,000, around 94,000 voters as illegal voters because they were felons, criminals,
right,
who were now fraudulently and feloniously voting in Florida elections.
Well, that's right. And it turns out that they actually,
most were guilty, the majority were guilty of voting while black. No
exactly.
Other crime, but that was their crime. That was the election 2000. 2004, they used caging and several other tricks, including obviously machine monkey shines. in many states. Everyone looks at Ohio, but we got to look at New Mexico and Florida and other places.
Well, in fact, I think that the Now program tonight will have some email concerning from your friend, your good friend, crying Tim Griffin out of Arkansas, has some email that shows that, in fact, they were having what they called a voter fraud strategy conference call, and they were talking about all of the different states that they were planning to challenge voters to keep them from voting if they needed to. Now, some people, Greg Palast, have been critical of your report. They said, well, look, none of those people on those caging lists were actually challenged, and I would suggest one of the reasons that perhaps they weren't is because perhaps you and the BBC reported it and put them on notice about this.
That's not even a maybe. What happened was that,
yeah.
Keep in mind, we raised the alarm. We ran our report on the caging list before the election, in October, a couple weeks before the election.
Right.
Okay, out of BBC London. And what happened was is that several civil rights lawyers and others screamed bloody murder, but all we could do is have the sheets we had out of Jacksonville. The supervisor of elections, Jacksonville, called in the party chiefs and said, no. No games with challenging these voters. That ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was it was nice to have stopped the caging game in one place where we had a list. But it was, as you see from the internal emails, and I have several of these, talking mm-hmm. about it being a national program in swing states.
Mm-hmm.
In basically, because of the way that they're targeting it, 60% Democratic, you're going to have a heavily black, it's going to be challenging, you know, substantially the black voter.
And let me, Greg, I want to get to a call here in a second, but I want to make this this point, because we were joking about the voting machines and everything. What this story, I think, tells, and the fact that this email came out, we were able to show it, you were able to show it at BBC, yeah. Make noise about it, this changed their behavior, seemingly, about what they could and couldn't do. I will argue that the voting machine issue is the same thing. In other words, these guys are gaming the system from, you know, before you walk into the booth, before you even sign up to vote. They're gaming it during, after, and the only thing that makes a difference here is sunshine, is transparency, and is a real media, which we used to have. Instead, now we got guys like you and me trying to tell the truth here. Well, but it's transparency. It's the light of day that makes the difference in this, in all of these issues.
When you turn on the lights, the cockroaches run for the walls.
Indeed. Let's go. Let's take
a rule.
Indeed. But that's the only chance. That's the only hope we have, Greg. Let me get to Daniel here. Daniel in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Brad. Yeah, thank you for having Mr. Palast on. You're really bringing a service to the community with his presence. Mr. Palast, you've been doing a fantastic job. I admire your stick-to-itiveness, and you just don't back down. But I got to tell you, you're blowing it for all those people that are just don't give a damn about their vote and would rather spend their time watching American Idol. I don't know what you're thinking. You know, you're way up against the wall, and I mean, more than 50% of the people voted for W. So I mean, the writing's on the wall.
No, they didn't. Where'd you get that idea? Prove
it. Well, he won, dude.
Well, he won doesn't mean more than 50% of the people voted for him. We have no idea how many people actually voted for him, and they certainly wasn't more than 50% back in 2000, Daniel.
and of course not. Yeah,
just a lot of people just say,
seriously.
Hang on, Daniel.
Make whether or not we vote for somebody, because we don't have a choice of nominees. They're all bought and paid for.
Good question, Daniel. Thanks. Let me get to Greg's answer on that. Are they all bought and paid for, and does it make a difference if we vote or not, Greg?
You can, frankly, it looks like we've seen that under the current regime, the government can be absolutely purchased. But under that's under Republican regimes. But under Democrats, you can't buy them. You can rent them. So there's
exactly.
A difference.
Yes.
I don't want people thinking that there's not a difference.
So that's slightly better. You can rent them instead of purchasing.
And the other point, you know what? The truth is, stealing votes is not a partisan issue. It tends to be a race issue and a class issue. That's very, very important. This isn't about simply a party
mm-hmm.
winning over another party, because you have a long history of voter disenfranchisement by, for example, the Georgia Democratic Party, black people there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the poor to vote. They don't want the economically disenfranchised to have the vote and suddenly become enfranchised. That's really at the bottom. Now, it's the Republicans who've been the great vote shoplifters in the last decade. But, you know, it took them a while to catch up and surpass the Democrats, and the horse race may be on again. We've got to be very careful about this. So, and therefore, the way we overcome this is two ways. One, we shine that light, and two, we vote because it drives them crazy, because it's what they don't want you to do. Part of the game is to make it difficult and discourage you. Okay? If you thought you can win with 51% of the vote, well, you can't get over it. Move on.
What do you need?
Actually, I've done a calculation, about 53%.
53%.
So 50-40, if you don't have a 53-47 race, you lose.
We got to vote more than they are able to steal, correct?
But they're going
to
steal six. I did it actually.
All right.
In our math, we did a calculation about 6.5 million votes. We do know that in the 2004 election, we can calculate that 3 million votes were cast and never counted in that race. That's the official number.
3 million votes.
Realize that in America, that 3 million votes get cast and not counted.
Hold your thought, Greg. I got to get to a break here. Okay, give us a call if you want to talk to Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse and so much more. Also on tonight's PBS Now program. Give us a call 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'd love to hear from you on Be the Media Friday on the Peter B. Show. Back with Greg Palast right after this.
Healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajita Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Or with actual reporters.
Mm-hmm.
noise and the fuss and the howler here on the Peter B. Collins Show for the next couple of hours here before we will sidle on to our next... Where are we going from here, Des? Any idea? No idea. All right, we're down in Houston. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com sitting in for Peter B. Collins, speaking with our old friend Greg Pallast, who will be featured tonight on PBS, or the Petroleum Broadcasting System, as he likes to refer to them, on the Now program to speak finally about vote caging, the very thing he's been trying to let them know and everybody else know about for quite some time. And I want to take your calls, 888-5-PETER-B, and I want to get Greg's take on a couple of other items in the news here. But just to close the loop from the last segment, Greg, you said the 3 million votes disappeared back in 2004, were never counted, and so what the hell do we do? How do we, is it worth voting? What do we have to do to make a difference here if all these votes are going to disappear?
Well, first thing we should do since they disappeared is check Karl Rove's trunk. But they come through things like
for bodies or
so-called
votes?
Glitches in the machine, like yeah. You know, like in 2006 when 18,000 votes went in Sarasota, and you know they just went gone.
Yep,
that happens all the time, but it doesn't happen just randomly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an African American voter, the chance your vote will glitch and get lost is 900% higher than if you're a white voter.
Go figure.
Well, figure because they get. They don't give them good hospitals. They don't give them good schools. They ain't going to give them good, you know, voting machines. And that's
right.
How it works.
That's it.
Even if they don't have to fiddle with them, just give someone a broken voting machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to do.
Or don't give them enough, and they're
or
not going to be able
enough,
to vote at all.
Or take them out, which is another thing we found, in Ohio. Where
in Ohio, who can stand in line for 8 hours?
Deliberately remove machines. Now, but that's just part of it. But you say, what do we do? Once again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, light is the disinfectant here. We put out the word.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, obviously, and we don't ever let the guard down. We don't say, we don't have to, you know, we haven't done a Bill Gates on our computers. We don't have black screen, black box voting.
Right.
So all is well. and then you have a optical scan system, which
mm-hmm.
completely blows apart because, a ballot's mismarked, the entire thing
mm-hmm.
is thrown away. I mean,
right.
You've got...
Well, they can be blown anyway.
The other thing that they have is one of the most devious things that has to be changed, really has to be changed.
Right.
Is the so-called Help America Vote Act, which George Bush signed in 2002.
Yeah.
And as you know, when Bush tells us he's going to help us vote, we got to be a little bit cautious.
Indeed. All right.
That thing is one of the deeply evil things because it allows secretaries of state, like those Catherine Harris's and Ken Blackwell's, those fine upstanding guardians of our vote, allows them to remove so-called suspect voters from the voter rolls and reject voter registrations, and they've done it literally by the millions. And this has been the silent slaughter, which has not been covered, that in states like California, you had up to 40% of new registrations rejected. It's never happened before. You used to register to vote. You were registered to vote. No one ever thought of it. A lot of people are going to show up on election day and be very surprised that they ain't going to be voting, or they're going to get something called a provisional ballot. You get any of those listeners,
right.
Say no thanks, no bouncing baloney, bogus ballots. I want a ballot.
Right.
No provisional ballot. So
right.
I mean, there's a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah, there is. And in fact, the Help America Vote Act kicked in 06, and all of the registrations databases changed, and a lot of people didn't vote in 06. They're going to be up for a surprise in 2008. Okay, we got just a minute or two left here, Greg. Greg Pallast, where the hell is this going in the... in the Congress, we're seeing this showdown where they're asking, they're leading towards contempt charges here against a couple of White House officials. But the White House has already instructed the DOJ that they can't bring charges because they've claimed executive privilege. So what the hell is going on? We've got a constitutional confrontation, do we not?
Apparently, Alberto Gonzalez can't read himself his rights. What I'm concerned with is that the game is getting distracted. Today we learned that, this week we learned that Alberto Gonzalez has a wooden head and his nose gets longer every time he testifies.
Mm-hmm.
So that the senators are now kicking around Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is while we're playing games with trying to nail Pinocchio for perjury, Mr. Gonzalez, that he may be a very easy puppet to kick around, but how about go after the puppeteers?
I'm glad to see they're finally calling Karl Rove, but I don't see him actually taking the stand. They're going to have to figure out how to get that one.
Ain't going to happen.
And so I'm very concerned that it comes, that it be looked at the moment, as some type of inside the Beltway fight between Congress and the White House, when it's really about, at the heart of the prosecutor firing issue, is the issue of voting. These guys were fired because they wouldn't participate. They wouldn't use, for example, these caging lists to nail people, mm-hmm. send them to jail. I'm not going to say too much about that, because you will have
Brian Myers from now. Really, that's right. But the question is, and we've only got about 30 seconds here, but what the hell are the options anymore, Greg? It seems like it is impeachment or nothing at this point.
Yes. I mean, even a pardon, first of all, claiming executive privilege mm-hmm. is by itself an impeachable offense.
Mm-hmm.
Impeachment was created for the purpose of making sure that a president didn't become a monarch and use his special executive authority, whether privilege or pardon, to get his own cronies off the hook, to pardon his own crimes.
And do the Democrats...
That was specifically put into the Constitution.
But do the Democrats
by Jefferson,
have...
By Madison.
But do Hamilton. The Democrats have the balls to do it, Greg?
There's a little problem. It's very hard to get Democrats to stand up because, like jellyfish, they're invertebrates. So it's very
mm-hmm.
difficult. Have a sympathy.
All right, one tip before we go for you, Greg. Next time you're in D.C. in the Capitol building, it has been confirmed to me that, in fact, there is a jail cell in the basement of the Capitol building. I'd love you to get some photographs of that for us, because I think inherent contempt can be tried in the Congress. That's the only thing they can actually do, short of impeachment. And I think they got to do one or the other. Call the sergeant of arms and have them start throwing people in that jail cell, Greg.
It'll be very crowded.
Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse, a New York Times bestseller, and, of course, of many other fine books that you can get at your bookstore or gregpalast.com. He'll also be on PBS tonight on Now with David Brancaccio. Check that out. Finally, talking about vote caging in the American media. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate all you do.
Got it, man.
All right. Okay. We're back with much more, including your calls, trying to get to them, and a whole bunch of other news that's piling up here on my desk. This is Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. We are back right after...